it's something that I've always struggled with and I have to really work at doing. And it's something that we teach our kids how to do because they don't know how to do it very well anyway. And it's learning how to listen. Learning how to listen, because I can hear a lot of things going on at once. God bless me with some radars on my head that literally I can hear a lot of conversations going on, but I can only listen to one conversation at a time. Even though I can hear many different things, listening is different than just hearing. And so in our life, if we're going to grow, if we're going to be better people, we have to learn how to listen to the person that we're talking with. Or else we're going to live on an island, we're going to be all on our own, and we're only going to have the understanding that we have because of what we see and what we assume. But learning to listen allows us to be able to grow. Listening helps us understand how to live. So that's the main premise that we're going to be thinking about today and talking about. But learning to listen, listening helps us understand how to live. Now, listening skills are all over the map. There are people that, like for me, if I'm sitting in my office, I need something playing on the TV behind me, whether it's just very soft, whether it's music or Fox News or something, to engage that little squirrel in the back, to get him to engage in something else so I can actually focus on what I'm focusing on. Now, for many of you, that would drive you nuts. It's got to be completely silent. Not for me. I have to have something engaged in my brain behind me because there's two squirrels in there, and one's a little more dominant than the other. So I've got to shut one down to where my learning squirrel can actually help me to know and to hear what I'm trying to figure out. So listening for all of us is going to look a little bit different, but it's the same quality that we should all have. We should all learn how to listen. Why? Because it's going to help us to live better. We're going to know how to live better. And so there's a couple of things. When we talk about hearing, here are the definitions of hearing. It's to give ear to. Now, I can give ear to something and kind of half-heartedly hear it. Wives, you know what that looks like. Your husbands do it all the time, right? Right? And so we know what that looks like. Hearing also is we wanting to be informed. We just want to hear some information. Not that we're going to change from it or grow from it, but at least we just want to be informed. Or to listen officially or judiciously. So if we're going to a hearing or I want to hear to be able to make a judgment call. But I want to take it from hearing. I don't want us to be followers of God that just hear things. I want us to be followers of God that learn to listen. Because listening is being attentive in order to hear. It's being able to drown out the things around us to focus on the person or thing in front of us so that we can learn and understand how to live better. And we struggle with that. We have such a hard time with that. Lots of reasons for that. But if we look at the second definition there, it's to be influenced or persuaded by. And here's where it really catches us. When I go into a conversation, I already have preconceived notions of what I believe and what I think and what I already know you're going to tell me. And so it's hard for me to listen to you when I'm filtering all the information that I'm hearing to be informed through the lens that I'm choosing to listen through. So if I go in with already preconceived notions and judgments already made, and I'm trying to effectively listen to you, it's going to be hard for me to listen in order to change because of the lens that I'm coming through. Does that make sense? And so for us as believers, many of you are sitting here thinking, well, you're just talking about all the stuff that's going on in our world today. Actually, I'm not. I'm not referring to that very much at all. Because when we go to God, we already have our preconceived notions. We already have what we want. And we go to communicate with Him with a preformed lens that we cannot hear to be informed in order to change. We cannot listen effectively. And we can't listen to the outside world and try to understand them until we can listen to a God who knows us best and will guide us in the direction that He wants us to go first. And so I can hear everything going on. But until I learn to listen to the one that knows me best, to the one that can inform me the most accurately, until I can learn to listen to God, growth really will not begin to take place. Because when I listen to God, And I begin to hear and see and understand what he would have me to hear and see and understand. It will change my life, which will allow me to listen to the world around me to see that there is value in life, that the way that the world is heading is not the way that I'm supposed to go, and will allow me to change in a way to be effective as a believer in this world. It's interesting how that works. Because we think that everything that we're seeing and everything we're experiencing is about the people here. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, folks. This is a spiritual war that's going on, and our responsibility as followers is to learn how to listen to God first so that it will inform what is to come. This is the Greek word. I will not pronounce it for you because that's the Greek word for listening. Over 450 times, approximately, this word is used in this form. And there are plenty of verses that we're going to look at today that allow us to see really what it's getting at to get to the verse that I really want to get to. But here's the definition. It's to hear. It's to listen. They are commingled here. They are attached together. It's not just about hearing to be informed. It's hearing for the sole purpose of listening to give heed to or to comprehend. It is hearing for the purpose of gaining understanding so that we can change. That is what this is about. And so when we see verses like this that Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Multiple times, there are three or four different times that Jesus uses this in the New Testament, in his Gospels, that he simply says as he's teaching, if you have an ear to actually hear information and comprehend what's being said, then you need to hear, you need to comprehend what I'm telling you. That's Jesus saying that. That's not me. That's not your husband or your wife or your kids. That's not your teachers. That's not anybody. That's Jesus saying, listen, if you can hear, if you've got ears that will allow sound in, then you need to hear for comprehension's sake what is being said. That's huge to me. Same word. That also means to this. In Matthew chapter 7, again, this goes back to the Sermon on the Mount. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. Same verb or same word, same Greek word, same Greek understanding. Same implication. If you will hear the words of Christ, if you will hear the words of God, and you will make the necessary changes according to what you have listened to, what you've understood, what you've comprehended, what you've applied to your life, you will be building a life on something that is substantial, that is solid, immovable. But, he says, if you hear these sayings of mine and do not do them, then it's like you're building a house on a sand. And when the rains come, when life hits you, the foundation will be washed away, and that thing, that structure that you built, will just fall. Now, folks, when I get to these verses like this, and I see that the hearing that it's talking about is not just the audible hearing of the words that comes to me, it's comprehending, it's really trying to understand, it's a application. Jesus says, it's not just about the hearing, it's the doing of the two things. Let it change your life, but let it change in how you live. When we get to James chapter 1, this is the same word being shared. Same word. And James says, so then, my beloved brethren. James is a very pointed book. If you've never read the book of James, I would encourage you to do it, but just be ready to get whipped. It is powerful. It is challenging. It uncovers things that are just tough for us. And he says, my beloved brethren, in other words, this is going to be hard for you to hear. It's going to be challenging for you, but I want you to know I'm coming at you as a brother in Christ and because I love you and I want the best for you. He says, let every man, that's every person, every man, woman, child, everybody, be swift to hear. He says that one first. Slow to speak and slow to wrath. He says the first thing you need to do when somebody either comes at you or you've got new information, shut your mouth and listen. Be faster to try to hear and understand what they're saying to you rather than coming back at them defensively. That's what it means when he says, be quicker in listening and comprehending rather than being quicker with your mouth. In fact, chapter 3 of James deals with that whole entire thing. He says, be swift to hear, slow to speak. And if we can do those two things, guess what will happen? Our wrath, our anger, our rage, the things that boil up within us will begin to diminish. Listen, the most of the time when I get upset or frustrated in a conversation, it's one of two things. Either I feel like I'm not being heard, or I don't like what you're telling me and I want to correct you. That's usually what it is for me. And I would venture to say, in most heated arguments, that's generally where it's at. James addresses this. Nowhere in there does he say, hey, you have a right to be heard. You have a right to be understood. He says, hey, listen, be quiet and consider the other person's discourse. Take the time to listen and understand before you respond. Maybe they're saying the same thing just a little bit differently than you. Maybe they're trying to help you understand from their point of view that maybe you're not going to be able to understand. So be quiet. Be a lot slower to get your point of view across. And it will save you from getting so angry. Now again, most of the time when we hear that, we think about, well, really that's talking about people that you see and talk to. Actually, I've gotten right mad at God because he's not listening to me. Because he didn't act fast enough for me. And what I was hearing from him was absolutely not what I wanted to hear. And so I needed to correct him. I needed to set God straight and fix his thinking to where he could understand where I was coming from. And when those things clash, can I tell you how aggravating that is? It's so frustrating and it boils up anger within us. This isn't just about people to people, folks. It starts with our relationship with God. It starts with us being slow in our speaking to him, but fast in our trying to understand what he's got going. Listen, there are plenty of verses in here that I would love to argue against because it makes me uncomfortable. I don't really like them. But the reality is it's not about if I like them or if they make me comfortable. It's about what is best for my life. What does God know about me that I don't know, that I need to be quiet and listen? I love that. And he says, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. When we are angry, wrathful, just, that's not being right with God. That's not being right with each other. I love how he takes it and he spins it and puts the spiritual emphasis on this. Yeah, we think that it's about us, but it's more than that. There's more at play here. So we've got swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Swift to hear is, this is what's the most important part to me in this verse. I have worked really hard in trying to get better about being swift to hear with my kids. As they get older, they are developing their own thinking habits, their own brain. And if I continually cut them off and not allow them to think through things, how are they going to learn? How are they going to grow? How are they going to mature? So I have to be the mature one and kind of figure out this new parenting phase to give them this voice without too much power and authority, but enough to allow them to blossom. And what if, folks, what if we were able to talk to God that way? In fact, what if we were able to not say anything and be able to learn to listen that way? That we were quicker to hear from him. That may mean I've got to read a little bit more. That may mean I need to spend a little bit more time on my knees. It may mean I just need to spend some more time in quiet meditation. I'm not talking about crossing my legs and boom. I'm talking about when I'm by myself, when I'm pressure washing, I can cut everything else out and just spend some time thinking about who God is and who I am in him and what can I do to maximize and leverage the gifts that he's given me. How can I be a better father? How can I be a better husband? How can I be a better brother? How can I be a better son? How can I be a better pastor? Those are times where we meditate and say, okay, God, dig in. I'm going to be quiet for a while. Let me hear from you and listen to you, knowing that it's probably going to sting a little bit. But I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm not going to defend it. I'm going to give you permission to help me know what is right. And so that's the most important thing. And if we wanted to parlay that into what's going on in our world around us, we as believers need to learn to listen to our brothers and sisters of any color. Doesn't matter to me. I can ignore a white person just as good as I ignore a black person or an Asian person or a Spanish person. Doesn't matter. Because that's what we do. The reality is, if we can go back to last Sunday's sermon and remember that every person has value, then I need to learn to shut my face, trying to prove my point, and hear what's going on in the life of someone else. That's the first and most important part. I need to learn how to be quicker to listen. Slow to speak. If I'm quick to listen and I am slower to speak, it is allowing me time to process the information that I'm getting. And if that is the case, then it's going to bring me to a better understanding, not only of who God is, but of who I am in Him, and then the person that I'm communicating with here on this planet. That's heavy for us. That's good for us. And that is a needed thing, especially right now. We've got to be quicker at our listening. We've got to be slower at our defending and our speaking to get us to be slow with our wrath. Now, there are times where we can be righteously indignant, but you better make sure. You better make sure. Because Jesus talks about being angry. James addresses it. Paul talks about it. Anger is not one of the fruit of the Spirit. But there are things in this world that we can be righteously indignant about. But we better make sure, first off, that we have truly heard and understood from God, that we are not being righteously indignant because we just don't like it, but it is biblically right to be righteously indignant about it. So if I'm taking my time to be quick to hear from God and to understand what is going on, and I am slow to be defensive and to speak, then my understanding will grow and I will know of the things that I should stand up for and the things that I just say, you know what, it is what it is. Saves us a lot of anger and a lot of frustration. Doesn't that sound like awesome? Okay, good. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Watch what he says in Ecclesiastes. I don't know if you've been a part of our Wednesday night study, but I would go back and read that book again. It has been so, so good. He said, walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than to give sacrifice of fools. I love that. Come here not so you can get something, but come here so you can hear. Come here so you can grow. Don't come just to be putting in your time. Your obligatory response of Sunday morning, I got to go to church. Draw near because you want to hear. He says, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you on earth, therefore let your words be few. That is something that I am working on. It's always intrigued me. I love being around people who don't say a whole lot, but when they do, it's spot on and heavy. You've been around people like that. That's my goal. Talk less, live better. It'd be fun, I think. So a couple of questions. Why should we listen? Why should we listen to those around us? Why should we listen to the preacher? Why should we listen to God? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, I believe, gives us a great framework, really quick, of things that we can look at and do better and practice and work on. And listen, we're not going to get this first shot. This is going to take a lot of time. It has taken a lot of time for me to get to the place where I'm at, and I've got a long way to go. But it's something that we should strive to continue to do no matter what. In Proverbs chapter 1, he says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. He says, to know wisdom and instruction. Is that not what we want? We want to be smarter, right? We want to have a better understanding of what this looks like. To perceive or kind of understand the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Look at all those phrases. Those are things that are being flown around a lot right now. We want to be wiser in understanding what our brothers and sisters are going through. We want to understand all these things. We want to understand justice and judgment and equity. Then he says, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. Now in there, nowhere does it say a wise man will speak a lot or a young man will speak a lot. It talks a lot about hearing, understanding, listening. It is a lot about shutting our mouths and opening our ears and our minds to truly hear what is going on. I love it. He says, a wise man will hear. So if we hear and understand or increase our learning, then we are considered wise. Let that sink in. A wise man will hear and increase his learning. He will take what he hears from God or from another person, and if it matches up with Scripture and makes life better, then they will increase their lives by changing to make it better. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Even a guy that's got stuff figured out, he's figured out that he doesn't know as much as he used to know, and he's going to go to the people that know best and ask them. I love the men that I have surrounding me. They've got a lot of wise counsel and a lot of wise cracks too. But I know that if I want to make sure that I'm making the right decision or if I'm unsure, I can go to them and they're going to help me navigate through to get to the best position possible. That's good for me. We should all have a group of people around us that are a little bit smarter, a little bit older, a little more life experience, a little more wisdom, and grow from that. He says, to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and the riddles. So he's saying, all these things that I'm getting ready to share in Proverbs, it's everything that I've gleaned from this life. If everything that I've learned, it's all the conversations that I've had, the good experiences and the bad experiences. These are the things that I'm sharing with you. And I figured out that the way to truly understand what life is all about is in verse 7. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. He says, here's where it all begins. You can have great conversations with fellow man, wise people, people that are smarter than you, people that have got life together. And you can grow and understand, but he says, here's where it really begins. If you really want to grow in your wisdom and understanding and be able to hear instruction and take it the right way and grow, it begins with a healthy understanding of who God is and who you are in Him. It's the fear of the Lord. That is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. So we can have these conversations to try to figure out how to navigate through our world. But if our lens is coming through a selfish, self-centered, humanistic lens, it's going to be misguided. But if we can spend time and understand God and who He is and who we are in Him, as we move into the idea of trying to have some type of reconciliation or experience a redemptive process that will help us and guide us and inform us of how we need to have the conversations as we listen to those around us. It all begins with the relationship with God. Growing in wisdom and understanding begins with a healthy understanding of who God is. Gone are the days where we just pray the prayer and just attend church haphazardly and we're just all going to be fine. Now, I don't know how God's going to deal with all that, but I do know what God has told us, what Jesus has specifically said to us. Trust me and then follow me. Do what I've asked you to do. If you want people to know that you are followers of me, then do what I've asked you to do. So there's something to be said of once I pray that prayer, my life should ever be changing from point A to point Z. It should always be growing. I should always be going after wisdom and understanding. And where does that come from? From getting to know God. Growing in wisdom and understanding begins with healthy understanding of who God is. So why are we afraid to listen? I wanted to just touch on this. For me, I don't like listening a lot of times because I have a hard time being told that I'm wrong. And I'm pretty sure and pretty confident I'm not the only person like that. We have a hard time with that. It makes us feel less valuable, less worth anything. It just feels icky. But what if I am wrong? What if what I'm seeing and interpreting isn't right? Then I've got to be at the place where I'm okay hearing something different to help me understand how to be a better person. But the reason we don't like to listen is it's painful. It's hard for us. But I want you to look at what Solomon says. We just talked about this Wednesday night, and it hit me so weird if you were watching Wednesday night. I had to pause and catch my breath a minute. He said, the preacher sought to find acceptable words. So he's talking about all the things. The preacher is referring to Solomon and all of these things in Proverbs and how he's written. He's like, I had to really think about how to conceptualize this, how to verbalize what I wanted you to truly understand. And he says this, and what was written was upright. It was words of truth. So I struggled. I really wanted to make sure that what I was sharing with you helped you to see truth for life. And then he helps us understand why it was so important, because he knew they were going to hurt. He says, the words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. He says, these truths that we have are like goads. If you don't know what a goad is, it's like a two-pronged thing that you poke an ox with to make him go. It's goad, go, right? They get a little complacent. They get a little comfortable. They're not traveling fast enough. They're doing their job, but they're not really moving along like they should. You give them a little poke in the rump, and they get going a little bit faster. It's the reason why we don't want to hear truths from God. We have already made up our mind that I've prayed the prayer, I've been baptized, I'm good. I don't have to do anything else. And Jesus said, no. If you want people to know that you love me, that you are following me, you've got to continue to change and be a better person. You've got to love me first and then love your neighbor as yourself. That means you have to live differently. And so these truths, as we go through Scripture, these truths are like goads that kind of poke us in the rump and say, hey, you're a little too comfortable here. You're a little too complacent. You're not moving fast enough. Get moving. And it's painful. It hurts. And I would venture to say it's the same reason we don't want to have conversations of reconciliation. Well, I just don't like I don't like to butt heads. I don't like confrontation. So you don't want to grow? You want to try to understand what the other person's feeling because you're afraid of a little emotion or that it's going to hurt a little bit? I'm not sure that I find that anywhere in Scripture, that it's okay just to let things blow over, especially if it's a brother in Christ. We should be willing to hear the other side. Swift to hear, slow to, I'll change it, defend, therefore slow to wrath. There are conversations that probably need to be had in our church of people who are butted heads and they've parted ways because they just didn't want to come together and figure out what the difference was, and to be okay to disagree. But even more than that, in the world that we live in right now, there are conversations that must be had to try to reconcile some relationships that we may not have had a part of that were carried on hundreds of years ago. But the reality is, it's still prevalent. And so what can we do as believers? Well, we can be quicker to hear and slower to defend. But in order to do that, you got to have that healthy relationship with God. You've got to learn to listen to Him first. You've got to learn to be able to hear from God first. Because most of the time when I'm in a conversation, especially if it's heated, my emotions get jacked up. And if I allow my emotions to get jacked up and I work off of that, I will not hear from God. And so if I can be quicker to hear, slower to speak, and slower to wrath, then my brain has calmed down and I can actually hear what God is trying to help me hear from the other person. Because all of this is given by one shepherd. It's all God. It's the Spirit that lives within you that should be guiding us. But when our emotions get out of whack, when we are slow to listen and fast to get mad and fast to speak, we can't hear effectively. So how do we listen? How do we listen? By being still in our speech, our thoughts, and actions in order to know. We've got to be still. We've got to be a lot stiller. We've got to be slow to all of those things. We've got to be at a place where we are just okay with listening, even though we've got to get our point across. even though we've got to make sure that they hear us. And I would challenge that today and say, no, they don't. It is our job to hear the other person. If we could truly live out others' needs are more important than our needs, if we could even just do that in the church, half the stuff that we bicker about and half the stuff that people leave over would never happen. But the goads come out, and instead of me receiving the goad and trying to learn from it, I pull my goad out, and when you poke me, I'm poking you back. That's what we do. But as you can see today, I'm pretty confident that's not what God's asking us to do. I want you to think about this. Oh, that's backwards. How did he get that backwards? I just asked him to fix that. Shoot. Oh, well. So when we are thinking about all of this, when we're trying to listen, the first thing we need to listen as we're trying to hear from God is to learn how to work with ourselves. That's supposed to be the first one that was supposed to pop up. We're supposed to try to figure out how to fix ourselves. And the only way to fix ourselves is to be quiet and hear from God, to dig into his word and allow him to work through us and help us with that. The second one was supposed to be others. As we learn how to maneuver with ourselves, then we can work on dealing with others. But the reality is, none of this happens without working with God first. We've got to listen to God first so that we can understand how to work with others, and then we can try to fix ourselves. That's how it works. How it's supposed to go. So I want to end with a passage of Scripture. I love this passage, and it's going to help us understand how we are to listen. And so if listening helps us understand how we are to live, we live in a chaotic world, do we not? I mean, really chaotic right now, especially 2020 has been the weirdest year ever. And so if chaos ensues around us, how can we listen in all of that? Psalm 46 says this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Now listen to the chaos that ensues. So he says, God is our refuge and our strength. We're not going to fear, even though the earth be removed. This is Psalm 46, if you're curious. And the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Think about that. We've got mountains going into the sea. I've never seen that. That would freak me out, right? The earth be removed. That would be really sad. The waters are all rough. If you've ever gone whitewater rafting and really class 5 and class 6s, like those are big rapids. It's fun, actually, believe it or not, but it's scary at the same time. The waters are troubled. And all around us, is that not what's happening? The waters are troubled. Things are moving that normally haven't moved before. Things are changing, and it's chaotic, and it's stressful, and it's more than we can handle. So how in the world in all of that are we supposed to listen? Watch what he says. In the midst of all of this happening, he says, but there's a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just as the break of dawn. The nations raised, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I love this. He says, even in all the chaos that's going on in the world that you can see, the one thing that has never changed is where God is at and what he's doing. You let the kings rage and things go awry. The moment God speaks his voice, this will pass away. Because he is steady. He says, come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. This is the God we serve. He can take any argument, any war, any humongous army, and just crush them. So don't tell me that God can't help us in reconciling relationships. Don't tell me that God can't fix marriages or friendships or work relationships or the racism that we have in our country. Don't tell me that our God, in the midst of chaos, can't fix those things. Because he can. He has. and he will. Verse 10 is where it's at. In the midst of the chaos, know that God is still the same God, and he is still and he is calm. And watch what he says. He says, be still and know that I am God. To me, that correlates with James chapter 1. Be still, be quiet, and listen. And just know who I am. The only way to do that is for me to be quiet and spend time with him. To be still and to know. And as I listen, it's going to help me understand how to live. He finishes out. He says, I will be exalted among the nations. I love that. I love the confidence of God. He's like, you can believe whatever you want and see whatever you want and think whatever you want, but just so you know, when I come back, it's on. And I'm going to win. And I'm going to be exalted. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Everybody. He says, I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I love that passage. I love the two distinct pictures of chaos and calmness overriding each other, and God will win out every single time. So church, there is chaos in our world right now. It is imperative that we find the stillness of God so that when we are transposed in this world, we can bring a calm that only comes from God. But it begins with us listening in order to understand how to live. Let me pray for you. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for all that you do. God, so many times when I come to you, I already have what I want in mind. Lord, when I have conversations with my kids or my wife or my family or my friends here, God, I already have in mind what I want. Lord, I have in mind and I have opinions about all that I see going on in our nation right now. Lord, help me, honestly, to just be quiet, to learn to listen. Not listening just so I can say, yeah, I listen to you, now hear me. Help me to listen to understand. But Lord, I recognize today, first and foremost, that that begins with learning how to listen to you, knowing how to change when you speak, and to live life better. God, help me to learn to listen so that I can live a better life. Love you, praise you, and thank you. Help me to be the representation of who you are and what you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Don't forget, we'll dismiss you by Rose. Hopefully not much longer, but that's what we got to do.